Well, welcome to another edition of the Destination Polaris podcast. I am your host, Jared Christie. Today's podcast is brought to you by Rugged Radios, in-car communication, car-to-car communication, Bluetooth music, whatever your communication needs might be, Rugged is always there to help you out with finding the right product for your machine. Rugged Radios, the authority in communication. Well, it feels like it's been a while since we last talked about a new product launch, and those are always a blast. So with that in mind, please welcome to the show, Hallie Hoyt, the Razer Product Manager for Razer XP. Hallie, how are you?
Hey, Jared. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. How are you? Well, Hallie, I'm doing good, except for, you know, obviously we're here in Minnesota and you're here right now and we got a big snowstorm on the way. So we're going to rush through this, right? And get home. But you have got some exciting news to share with us, and I don't want to wait any longer. So why don't you tell us what that is?
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to be here today, and thanks for having me. The news is we are launching the brand new model year 2024 Razer XP here in March. This will be...
Ooh, did you hear all the fireworks going off and everything right now?
I did. I really did. I hope people are excited about this because I sure am.
Yeah. So tell me all of, I got a ton of questions for you, but launching a new machine, just kind of tell me about it. What's going on?
Oh gosh. Well, what isn't going on? Maybe we'll start there. It's launching a new machine. It really takes a committee of individuals to bring it to life from marketing, engineering, and product, and especially our manufacturing folks. So we're all working very diligently to work up the hype, get this Razer XP out to market here, as I mentioned, in March, and really bring kind of the next revolution of Razer XP 1000 to life.
Now, when it comes to the Razer XP and launching a new version, I assume this has probably been in the works for a while.
Yes, your assumptions are correct.
What all goes into sort of launching that new vehicle?
Yeah, so what we tend to do, especially from the product side, is, you know, when we're looking to replace a product, we're always following the product that's currently in the market. So think of this as pulling in customer insights or pulling in details from current owners in the market saying, hey, you know, this happened to me. And if we see that become a trend for, let's say, 2 to 3 more people, then it really gets on our radar to say, hey, maybe we really have something here and we need to dive into that. And so when we think about Razer XP and what really set the scope for this product, it was just that. We had almost 10 years of learning on Razer XP 1000 to really drive us to innovate further for what the revolution of Razer XP would become. And that's really how we do it. We pull insights. We look at market data. We start to build out a scope of work with our technical team and then determine a time to which we want to introduce it to the market.
Now, is this just one machine, Hallie? Is this a family of XPs we're talking?
Yeah, so it's a family. And within the Razer XP family, we'll offer different trim levels from Sport, Premium, and Ultimate. And those will also be offered in 2-passenger variants along with 4-passenger variants.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I think we should talk about each of those different machines. Do you want to start with the Sport, Premium, or the Ultimate?
Why don't we work our way up?
There you go.
All right. So the Sport trim, I kind of love this because the Sport trim is really intended to pull both current and new customers into Razer XP. And when I say that, I mean, if you look at a current Razer XP 1000 owner, what would really drive them to want to repurchase XP 1000 again, right? And that's really how we have to think about that. When you look at a new customer, they may not completely understand what they're looking for or what they want. So we want to start them at whether it be a price point or feature level kind of point to this family that says, okay, I'm curious, I'm intrigued, I want to take a look. This might be a good starting place for me. And maybe later I'll build up and repurchase the premium or ultimate. So the sport trim really comes just with your standard details. So sport trim comes with, we call it rugged design, right? And part of that rugged design is having features on the vehicle that kind of protect your investment, if you will. So we have an integrated bumper starting with the sport trim. We have a full skid plate to protect the driveline and engine components. All the trims come with full doors, which is really awesome because there's much more coverage. You walk away cleaner. It's just overall a more comfortable ride depending where you're at. And then the sport trim also comes in an exciting color where we've introduced some color pops on the external of the vehicle and brought it in into the interior with things such as seats. The sport trim focused on comfort. And when I say this, again, it's really the introduction into this family. So comfort was kind of one of those areas, right? Like when you think of a side-by-side product or a sport off-road machine, you know, you definitely want it to be durable. You want it to have that performance and capability to go ride where you want to ride. But our customers are riding longer. They're taking more people with them. And so we really thought about this, like, what keeps customers riding and wanting to continue riding? And it's really bringing those comforts into the cab, like storage, redesigned seats, for example.
Oh, I believe it. My wife and I are shopping for a new car right now. And first thing she wants to get in and just sit in it and see how it feels.
Absolutely. Have you had any success with any?
So far, we'll see how it keeps going. But yeah, I mean, for a lot of people, obviously the look of something is going to attract their eye. But I would feel like for a large majority, they just want to get in and sit in it and just see how it feels, kind of squirm around a little bit, grab the steering wheel. You know, where does your eye go? Things of that nature.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. It's really, you can see, you can touch it, you can feel it, right? It's really that showroom presence. And that's where we really want to captivate our audience with that sport trim. And we've done that through different styling of the vehicle. Like I mentioned with the colors, right? You still want to look good while you're out there riding your side by side, but you want to be comfortable doing it. And so Absolutely. That's really what that sport trim is intended to do.
Very cool. And now you go one level up from that to the Razor XP Premium Edition. And I got to imagine there's a few little extras in that.
Yeah. I kind of love as we walk up because, Polaris has always been an innovator. And we see a lot of new technology introduced in Polaris products kind of first to the market, right? And, you know, we talk about our partners and what we did as we step up into the premium is we partnered with Rockford Fosgate to introduce an audio tune specific to these vehicles, meaning you're still going to get a great audio experience even while you're out riding in the outdoors, right? So you can bring that music with you, enhance your experience, just makes it fun. So as you walk up from sport to premium, we introduce that Rockford Fosgate audio. We also introduce a roof, which is huge, right? Like you think of these customers out riding in different areas of the country, whether it be sun or rain or mud, whatever that might be. People want roofs.
Oh my gosh. I will tell you this. When we go out on our shoots, when I'm talking to whether it be Polaris Adventures Outfitter or a dealer, I have two questions for them right out of the gate. Are the machines we're going to have on filming going to have a roof and or windshield? Because we never know when we're planning these shoots months in advance what the weather is going to be like when we get there that week. And so for us, we don't really have a choice or an option to sort of reschedule most of the time, unless we know it's just going to be awful the whole week. And so having that roof, whether, like you said, whether it be the sun or the rain, is so key. And then if it's cold, having a full windshield or a half windshield just makes your day all that much better.
Oh, 100%. And it feels like it, you could take it off the showroom floor and go ride it. There's not much more you'd have to do to it, right? So we wanted to acknowledge that. And we also acknowledge the fact that customers move up in tire sizes. So on the premium trim, we move up from a 29-inch tire in sport to a 30-inch tire. So we're getting a little bit more ground clearance as well.
Now you've gone from sport to premium. And of course, you can't have a full lineup unless you have an ultimate edition.
Yes. And our ultimate trims look good, I must say.
I get a feeling like that might be what you're most proud of. I'm not sure.
Jared, what I'm most proud of is the mere fact that we have a team of individuals behind this product that really hurt our customers. That's what I'm proud of. But the satisfactory portion of this is the fact that we see it come to life. And so, yeah, as we talk about these trims and we walk up to the ultimate, like, it's very exciting because now not only are you bringing along the roof from the premium, you're getting Rockford Fosgate audio as well in this trim, but it's a stage 3. And what that means is it's got a little more punch to the audio. We've introduced front dash coaxial speakers along with rear head units behind the seats, and then a 400 watt amp to boot it. We've done that and paired it all with our ride command, which I absolutely love. Like, I don't know how much time you've had with our ride command, Jared, but honestly, once you have it, it's really hard to not have it, especially when you can plan your routes, you can see where your friends are at, right?
I totally agree. It's kind of hit and miss for us, depending on who we ride with, whether or not we have ride command. But there are a few things that certainly elevate any of our trips. And, you know, we talked about having a roof or a windshield and, of course, having music. But that other element of you know, you're out maybe on a really dusty trail or somewhere you're not familiar with, and having ride command just sort of helps put the trip at ease for you. Or make it more fun, either one.
Oh, 100%. And so, like, when we talk about new entrants to this vehicle, new customers or existing, right? Some of the things we really thought about there was what gives our customers confidence to go out all day? Like, sure, performance is a piece of that. That really stems from our Razor DNA. But then it's also having that ability to see where you're going, to come back, to share and build those memories.
That's awesome. I know we've just had Ride Command on our most recent podcast. And of course, we've worked with Rockford Fosgate for years. And you're totally right. When we'll have audio systems, and now we do these Project X builds where we, you know, kind of build these unbelievable machines sometimes. But what I like about Rockford is, you know, you can take that from that stage 1 through the stage 3 up all the way to stage 6. So even if you were to get the ultimate machine, you can still build on that audio system if you want to.
Yeah. And maybe let's talk about that for a second, because I love what Rockford is bringing to the table and that we have this partnership with them. I'll say a key factor in our success just through that design integration was the fact that PG&A, or our accessory team, was brought along with the product design of this machine, Razor XP, since we were developing it, which wasn't always the case in the past, right? So we got smarter on how we went about development, and we saw this need to make these machines and the accessories that customers love to add on look seamless so they can spend way less time upfitting and more time out riding. And one of the ways in which we did that is every trim from sport, premium, and ultimate comes with a 6-position pulse bar integrated in the vehicle, meaning pre-wiring is available to customers to add things like lights from Rigid, up the stage game, right? And their audio, for example, add whip lights.
Ugh, you're making it too easy for people.
Well, that's what we wanted too. That's how we sell vehicles.
No, but I mean, you know, when you, to me, Hallie, the Razor XP lineup is sort of iconic within Polaris. And, you know, we're going on, you look back and it's been, you know, introduced in 2014 and now we're in 2023 and it's been 9 years. And to me, what you're showing and telling me here is the evolution and sort of all the work and the thought that you guys have put into these machines to sort of make it, you know, not only a great vehicle and a great ride, but also customizable beyond, you know, right off the showroom floor.
Absolutely. And Jared, I'll be completely transparent with you here. I've been an owner of a Razor XP 1000 Trail and Rock Edition for the last couple of years. And it was hard to think of a replacement to that vehicle within the same category, whether it be from the styling element or its capabilities. But when you actually sit in a Razor XP and have that chance to drive it, it's a true light bulb moment of, hey, I actually do want to spend more time in this vehicle. I want to get to know it more. And I want to take it out all day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If we go back, you turn back the clock, Hallie, you know, 10 years when they introduced the Razor XP lineup, what was that like then? And kind of what's been the thought process as we've moved forward in the past decade?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question, because I think it's really important to like really acknowledge where we came from as a brand and where we're going. In 2014, Razor XP 1000 was introduced. It had the highest horsepower of its time at 107 horsepower, believe it or not. And it was the vehicle that was the most desired for desert and dune environments. So I'm going to pause there for a sec, because think about how the industry has evolved and what we launched last year with Pro R and Turbo R, right? It Razor XP 1000 was ultimately in the same kind of playing field as those vehicles. What I love about that though is Razor XP 1000 set the stage for where the industry would go. We start to see the competition put more pressure on us, right? They're innovating quickly. But yet, you know, we keep progressing forward. We keep innovating. And we start to see this switch from more of the thrill seeker customer with Razor XP 1000 to more of the avid explorer, which we now kind of deem as our multi-terrain space. Meaning Razor XP 1000 evolved from desert and dune with more focus in the trails. And then we see different variants such as mud and rock come along with that.
I love it when you guys hit on a machine and it's just sort of a home run from the get-go. And then you just take that and you build upon it over the years. Is that sort of how the XP mindset is or feel has been?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was a lot to learn. We were the top in the industry at the time, right? And if we didn't have that competition to help us innovate further, I don't think you'd see vehicles out there that we've introduced to the market in the past couple of years. And that being said, when you think about these new vehicles coming to life, we take a lot of those learnings, whether it be quality and durability, longevity of parts, and we work to distill that down to other product that's going to be introduced to the market at a later date. And Razor XP is no exception to that. We did just that with a focus on quality and durability.
I know you touched on it, Hallie, a little bit, and I kind of want to talk about it some more, but there's different levels of these machines. And does that mean there's different sort of riders for each one, or does the rider kind of fit all the three different types of machines?
Sure. So when we talk about different families of machines, so when we think about the trail segment per se, Those are customers that may be living in different areas where trail restrictions truly exist. And so we need to offer them a vehicle that fits their needs in those environments so they can get to where they want to go. They're also kind of part of that avid explorer group. But where we kind of start to see some crossover as we go into multi-terrain, which is where Razor XP and Razor Pro XP live, we call that multi-terrain because we recognize that the majority of our customers are using that product specifically for different riding types. It's more, I'll say, accessible with those machines on different trails, just with those being 64 inches wide. And those multi-terrain customers, I love them because I know I am one. Right. Not to sound facetious, but what I love about them is that you still have a bit of that thrill seeker in you, but you still are that avid explorer. Like, you enjoy going out, making memories with friends and family, right? It's about that journey and the stories you come away with. But then you don't mind a little bit of the performance aspect either to keep it exciting. And so that's really where multi-terrain fits. And then we get into wide open, which is our Turbo R and Pro R models. And these are really, truly the thrill seekers. You know, these are the desert and dune killers ultimately. They spend most of their life in the desert. But then we also see that some of these customers range to the southeast too, within different rock crawling environments.
Do you have, within this new lineup, Hallie, do you have a favorite?
Oh boy, don't do that to me.
Pick your favorite child. Come on, go ahead.
It really is hard. I have been very impressed with the Turbo R and what it's capable of. Now, I live in the Southwest now. I've really developed an interest in rock crawling. So that machine has really fit my needs. But I've been rock crawling an XP 1000 for the past couple of years. And I did not think that machine would be as capable as it was up against a Turbo R. And there's certainly differences. But what I love about Razor XP 1000 is the fact that it is so nimble and agile that there's places that those larger machines have difficulty going without doing, say, like a 10-point turn in tight spaces. Whereas my rock crawler, Razor XP 1000, I can just get it to go and just need to work the throttle a little differently. So you ask me my favorite.
Yeah, right?
I don't know if I can give you one.
You are in Utah right now, living
I
there.
Am.
Okay. People often, my number one question I get from people is, you know, where's the best place to ride? Where's your favorite place to ride? And I often fall back and say, you know, if there's one state, because I can't give you like a favorite, because, you know, the country's too big and there's too many great places to ride. But if you're going to pick one state to ride in for the rest of your life, I would pick Utah.
I would tend to agree. I am very blessed to have an outdoor playground where I reside.
Absolutely. So in Utah, where are some of the places that you've been that you really, really enjoy?
Oh gosh, sure. That's like asking a hunter to give away his hunting secrets.
I mean, some of these, there's some popular places out there, but you don't have to reveal all your favorites.
No, it's honestly, if you would have asked me if I would have been living in Utah at this point in my life and been able to kind of go anywhere to go ride, it's really a split between Sand Hollow and Moab, just because it's such different terrain that I would encourage any rider to go try that terrain at least once, because it truly feels out of this world.
I would agree. It's been a while since I've been to Moab, but we were at Sand Hollow last year, and that place certainly has the greatest variety and the smallest place that you'll find, whether it be dunes or rock crawling in some wide open spaces. That's it. To me, it's a little more surprising that it's not as popular as it could be, but I think that's been changing over the last few years.
Oh, absolutely. I would agree. And there's so many events that Polaris partners with too, like Trail Hero out of Sand Hollow, that I think just provides that opportunity, whether you're a new rider coming from a different part of the country or a different part of the globe, or if you want a good variety, like Sand Hollow is really, really that place.
Right. And for people who don't know what that is, it's just a couple of hours outside of Las Vegas. Pretty accessible for most people to drive in the Southwest. And of course, if you want to fly and rent a vehicle, you can do that as well out there. And then Moab, I think everyone knows Moab in just the riding, not just in Moab, but around Moab. Is what I actually enjoy more, because Moab can get quite busy, and, you know, Hell's Revenge and those places that have been popular for years. But just go exploring within an hour or two outside Moab and you'll feel like you're riding in a national park the entire time.
And you're so right about that, Jared, because the first time I went to Moab, I was a bit nervous, right? You hear of places such as Hell's Revenge. That's not a really inviting name. No.
Or you go to like Devil's Bowl or something like that.
Yeah, right? Hot tub.
Something very, yes, something very friendly.
But here, I'm so passionate about this riding community, is I never thought I would have the opportunity to rock crawl, nor did I ever think I would try it. And once I started doing it, you start to meet different people. Doesn't matter if they're part of your group or not, but the people you meet out on the trail respect the trail. They help you. They'll spot you if you feel uncomfortable doing anything, right? So you just get this community of people just that want to be part of that experience. And that is what I love about what Polaris has done to bring off-road product to our customers, because now we're creating these experiences.
Absolutely.
That are attainable.
Now, in the past few years, machines getting to dealerships obviously was slowed by the pandemic, not just for you guys, but for everybody. And I think that's starting to change. So when will people start being able to get their hands on, sit, feel, maybe test out this new XP lineup?
Yeah. April 2023.
Nice. So right around the corner.
It is. I know. It's really exciting, truthfully. I'm always excited to hear what customers have to say, even if it's first impressions and they're not quite sure, right? Like, it's all a learning experience, and I'm just honored to be part of it, truthfully.
Now, do you park yourself in a dealership for a week? Where do you guys sort of, and just like eavesdrop? What do you guys do to sort of kind of get that initial feedback? Where does that come from?
Yeah, so we actually have an owner's council that new or existing owners can become part of through Polaris. And we can receive feedback directly through there. We also have a customer engagement group where insights are being pulled in, again, from customer feedback. But I'd say our biggest gauge is really our field sales teams working with dealers directly to pull that information in real time. And of course, social media. I mean, that spreads so fast that it actually has become a tool for us to kind of gauge first impressions of the market.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you have introduced the lineup in 2014. You guys did a restyle in 2019. It's 4 years later. It's 2023. You've got the new Razor XP launch out. This process takes some time, and you guys put a tremendous amount of work, effort, research into it. How many people, Hallie, really get their sort of hands and eyeballs on a machine when it comes to launching a new product?
Are we talking about who's supporting kind of internally to bring
it
to life?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just sort of the marketing group sitting around and saying, okay, we're going to do this. It really is, for me, you know, it's probably engineers and so many more.
Gosh, I could tell you 100 plus individuals, and it's probably more than that, Jared. But certainly, I mean, it truly takes an army to bring these to life. And what's really key is kind of having your quarterbacks or your leads throughout the supply chain, marketing, engineering, product, manufacturing, to make sure we're all working together to do what's right for the customer first and foremost, and then make sure that these vehicles get out on time to the market.
Absolutely. And I think what I was trying to get at is, this isn't just something that you guys, sort of whip up over the weekend and take lightly. It's a long, long process to get to this point, right?
It is. There's a lot of development and iterations that take place over the years. An idea could kick off. I mean, we talk about 10 plus year roadmaps to be looking toward the future at what we think the market is going to do. Within that time frame, we're planning, we're gut checking with the market. We're pulling in different insights or focus groups to see if it really makes sense for the business and the customer to pursue.
So I'm guessing that you guys are already talking, thinking, working on the next evolution of the XP. Why don't you go ahead and tell me all about it now?
time will tell. I think that's what I love about where I work is, like I said, we never stop innovating. And we have a bunch of individuals that are always excited to be jumping on that next thing.
What's more exciting for you at this point? Is it the official launch release date, or is it the feedback that you're going to get?
It's a mix of both for me. And why I say that is, it's like anything. You introduce something new out there, you're kind of exposing yourself to how it'll be received. So there's always kind of these nerves that kick in to see what customers will be saying about it. We've done some early work, especially with our field sales team, that give us a really good indication that, hey, you know, we did it. We hit the nail on the head. So feeling pretty good about that. But the piece that is ultimately rewarding is the way that our customers use the product. Like if you were to go out and ride, and I'm sure you saw this, Jared, when you were in Sand Hollow or Moab, no one vehicle is the same unless it's a rental fleet, right? Customers truly make it their own. And I love to hear their stories of what they've done to do that and how it's impacted their life. So that's probably the most rewarding. And then the second piece I would say to that is, I look at these vehicles and of course I see a vehicle and I know how it makes me feel driving it. But for me, to your question about how many people does it take to bring this to life? When I look at these vehicles, I see those people. And you kind of bring that vision to life with them. That is very rewarding to me.
That's fantastic. Well, it's Christmas in March for you. Is that correct?
Yeah, pretty close.
I hear you 100% when it comes to having different vehicles. We recently did a ride in a film down in Mississippi, and we probably had 10 vehicles with us, and each one was radically different from the next. And it's not often we get the case that is the way things play out. But I was like, man, this ride is just fun because I keep catching myself looking at someone else's vehicle and someone else. And I was like, has that vehicle been with us the whole time? I don't remember. It really is. I mean, you get a vehicle and the first thing you want to do is customize it however way it is you're going to do it, just enough that it's not the same as anybody else's.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I have perfect to ask you, during that ride out of Polaris product that you've ridden, what's really been the one that has been the most memorable for you?
See, now we're lucky because we get to go all over the country. Well, I will say, gosh, you know, I haven't ridden, I don't get a chance to ride Sportsman too often, just because we're like, we're bringing gear and stuff. And usually I'm in a Ranger quite often, honestly, a lot, because that's the easiest vehicle for us to load up all the gear in and get in and out constantly all day long. So as far as like utility purposes go, I love that because, you know, we just, you were in and out of the vehicle 100 times a day and we got gear in the back and that just makes things so much easier. If we were out in the desert and we get to go fast, then obviously I'm gonna Razor. But there are some days I'm like, we have an extra Sportsman, I'm riding that all day because I just like don't get the chance to do that often. And that's the most free vehicle, I guess, for me. It's just because you're just wide open in the elements and I think you're seeing more things in that particular vehicle. If I owned my own vehicle, I would get a General just because that's kind of the best mixture of everything. So how politically correct was that answer? I gave all of them.
I can appreciate why you answered the way you did, but right. Like that just shows to what the off-roading industry brings to people's lives. Like there might not be just one, right?
No. And for me, you know, we've been doing the show for 14 years now. And so I have seen almost the entire lineup change during that time. And there was even a time way back in the day where we were just on ATVs exclusively filming a show. And, you know, that was crazy to think about what we rode and where we went just on ATVs. Now that you've got, you know, two seaters and then the four seaters came along. And I really, to me, that was the biggest change in the sport, however many years ago that was, when they switched from two seaters to four seaters. That just opened it up for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. We saw that shift too over COVID. I think a lot of manufacturers
did. It's sort of like boating as well. You know, so many people have shifted to pontoons over the years, and the level of what you can do with a pontoon now compared to what you used to do back in the days is so much different. And so there is no just like, hey, we can just take everybody. And if you want to do a little tubing or water skiing or fishing or whatever, we can all do that on the pontoon. So just seeing the change and evolution and being a part of the sport over the years has been a unbelievable experience.
I love that.
Yes. Well, Holly, thanks for joining us today. I'm super excited. You've given us so much to think about. Here's a great question. Where can people, once the launch happens, when is the official launch and where can people go to get more information?
Yeah. So the official launch date is March 6th, 2023. And please go to our website at polaris.com and also follow at Polaris on social media just to stay up to date on some of the launch news coming out.
There is a ton of information out there with the XPs between the sport, the premium, the ultimate, a lot to look at, a lot to talk about, and hopefully a lot to test drive as well.
Well, Jaren, maybe one of these days when I'm back in the Midwest or you're out West, we'll get a chance to ride them.
We're working on some shoots right now that might happen in Kanab, Utah. So,
That is the place I didn't tell you about, but yes, that's a wonderful place.
There you go. If you hung enough long through the show here, Kanab is a very special place. There's just, it's gotten a little more known in the past years, but when I went there 10 years ago or so, it was still a secret. Of course you have Coral Pink, which some people know in that area, but, just Kanab is just a really, really special location in the country that just offers some of the most amazing scenery, both on a vehicle and off a vehicle that you will ever find.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'll meet you in Kanab.
Jared. Okay, you'll meet me in Kanab.
Perfect. Yep, that's where we're going.
Awesome. Well, hi. Thanks again for joining us today. Appreciate all the time, all the information, and I hope to see you on the trail sometime soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jared.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Polaris Adventures. If you have not made your summer plans yet, or even your spring break plans, check out Polaris Adventures. They have over 100 outfitters from all over the country, from Maui to Maine. spend a day, spend a half a day, get behind the wheel, go for a ride, see something, see part of the country you haven't seen before. You'll have a great time. And of course, by Quad Boss. Quad Boss has been around for 2 decades. We're here in Minnesota and we often talk about this. It's going to snow. And so Quad Boss comes in handy with their snow plows. I'm sure I could use one in the next few days. They make super dependable parts, whether you're a rider, rancher, farmer, or hunter. Quad Boss makes your work feel like play. Well, that does it for another edition of the Destination Polaris podcast. Be sure to like, download, and subscribe where you listen to your podcasts, and we will talk to you again soon.